So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled The Status Quo, Chapter Number 2, entitled Remembrance of Lord Krishna, Text Number 33 and 34. Varshatindre Vrajah Kopat Bhagnamaneti Vivvalah Gotra Leelata Patrena Trato Bhadranu Granata. Word for word meanings. Varshati, in pouring water. Indre, by the King of Heaven, Indra. Vrajah, the land of cows, Vrindavan. Kopat Bhagnamane, having been in anger on being insulted. Ati, highly. Vivvalah, perturbed. Gotra, the hill for the cows. Leela Atapatrena, by the pastime umbrella. Tratah, were protected. Bhadra, O sober one. Anugrenata, by the merciful Lord. Translation. O sober Vidura, King Indra, his honor having been insulted, poured water incessantly on Vrindavan, and thus the inhabitants of Vraja, the land of cows, were greatly distressed. But the compassionate Lord Krishna saved them from danger with his pastime umbrella, the Govardhan Hill. Translation, please repeat. O sober Vidura, King Indra, his honor having been insulted, poured water incessantly on Vrindavan, and thus the inhabitants of Raja, the land of cows, were greatly distressed. But the compassionate Lord Krishna saved them from danger with his pastime umbrella, the Govardhan Hill. Text 34. Sharachasi kare mrishtam manayan rajni mukham gayan kalapadam reme strina mandala mandanaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. In the third season of the year, the Lord enjoyed as the central beauty of the assembly of women by attracting them with His pleasing songs in an autumn night brightened by moonshine. Purport. Before leaving the land of cows, Vrindavan, the Lord pleased His young girlfriends, the transcendental gopis, in His Rasa Leela pastimes. Here, Uddhava stopped his description of the Lord's activities. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Remembrance of Lord Krishna. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी फिनिश चैप्टर टू टुडे विल बी डिस्कसिंग दीज लास्ट टू वर्सेस। So this whole chapter was about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and the next chapter is about his pastimes out of Vrindavan. So there is a basic difference between pastimes in Vrindavan and pastimes outside Vrindavan. The similarity is that on absolute platform, in the spiritual sense, there is no difference, but still on the spiritual platform there is a lot of variety. So the difference is, in Dwarka, all his devotees knew that Krishna is the super soul within everyone's heart and he has appeared as our family member. But in Vrindavan, the intensity of love of devotees is so much that they don't consider his godhood. They only consider their own relationship with him. So, although Krishna exhibits such amazing pastimes, but they disregard the wonderful exhibition of that pastime. So, two pastimes discussed in text 33 and 34 that we read today, the two pastimes are, one is the Govardhan Leela and the other is Rasa Leela. And both, if you see from a mundane point of view, they are very amazing pastimes. So in Govardhan Leela, what does Krishna do? He lifts a big hill with the little finger of his left hand. So left hand is usually not the strong hand, and little finger is the weakest finger. So he lifts the whole hill for 7 days, 7 nights on his little finger. So still, all the residents of Vrindavan, they see it in front of them, but still they think he's just a small boy. Somehow or other, some other cowherd men, they are lifting the Govardhan Hill. Yashoda mother my thinks that Nanda Maharaj has lifted Govardhan Hill. So they disregard his godhood, and they don't care what they actually see. And in Rasa Leela, Krishna is dancing with billions of gopis. It's only one Krishna, but he expands. So that's also very wonderful. Usually we cannot have relationship with so many people. We are very limited. Usually in our family, we have few people. And these days, as the modern times are progressing, families are getting smaller and smaller. Usually only two people live in a big house, and they also fight, so they go to their own rooms. Then there is one person. And usually in the houses when you go, sometimes we go to distribute books, there is only dog there. People are working hard to pay the mortgage or rent for the house so that the dog can live comfortably. So this is modern times. So mundane people, materialistic people, Their vision is blinded. They cannot see supremacy of Krishna. Their vision is blinded by illusion, ignorance. And vision of Vrajavasis is blinded by love. So they also cannot see that he is Supreme Lord. So that's the only similarity. Materialists and Vrajavasis both think Krishna is not God. But there is a lot of gulf of difference between these two blindnesses. So according to our association, our consciousness will be molded. So association is a very important factor. So whatever environment we put ourselves into, our consciousness will develop according to that. So there are temporary things and there are permanent things. So in Bhagavad Gita it is said, Nasato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate satah. So of the temporary, there is no endurance, and of the permanent, there is no change. So there are so many things around us. Some are temporary, some are permanent. So it's according to our association with these things, our consciousness will develop. If we only associate with asat things, then we'll be degraded, we'll get entangled in this temporary material world. And life after life, we'll be in that samsara chakra. Again and again, we'll come back. But if we associate with the permanent, then we can get out of this cycle of birth and death. And that's the purpose of human life. So this Kali Yuga is actually not very conducive for spiritual development, because the degradation is to the maximum degree in Kali Yuga. And the environment is so polluted that when we go out, we associate with all these temporary things, and that saps our energy. Recently, neuroscientists have discovered that people are having low productivity rates at work or while studying, and they lose drive to work. They don't have drive or passion. They are getting into ignorance. So they were trying to find out what are the reasons. So they saw this thing, that people are surrounded with so many things, and you have to make constant choice to reject something, to accept something. So mind is working constantly. So life has become very, very complex. So that's why people are losing the drive to work and live, and they are losing drive to, they are losing productivity also. It is, they found out that if someone goes to a supermarket to get something, if you want to get one thing, you have to reject around 40,000 other things. In supermarket, there's so many varieties. For one product, you will have so many brands. So life has become more and more complex. So usually people think that we have so much choice, so actually it is very nice. But actually it's other way. More choice you have, more you have to do selection and rejection, and more your mind becomes dull. Because it takes energy to make that decision. And in one day you can only make so many decisions. So it's called decision overload. So that's why we are becoming dull and lazy, and our mind is always stressed. So we have to analyze that what sort of association we are taking. If we take superior, permanent, spiritual association, then our energy won't be sapped. We'll have energy on the physical level, we'll be healthy, we'll have energy on the emotional level, we'll always be happy, we'll have energy on mental level, we'll easily able to choose things, mind won't be stressed, and on spiritual platform we'll have a lot of energy. because we'll be able to link with the Supreme Soul with proper intelligence. And once we are connected with the Supreme, we are connected to the powerhouse. So if you have a copper rod, a copper cable is connected to the powerhouse, it's surcharged with energy. So same way, we are spirit souls. If we connect ourselves to the source of all energy, the powerhouse, or Lord Shri Krishna himself is the source of everything. If we connect ourselves to him, especially through bhakti yoga process of hearing and chanting, then we'll be surcharged with energy. And the process of bhakti yoga is performed in association of devotees. So one of the most popular verses about association is given in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana katha tad joshanad ashvapavargavartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishati. So in the association of devotees, sadhu sang or sat sang, so sat means permanent, and sadhu sang is also called sat sang because when we associate with devotees, we are associating with permanent things, because devotees hear and chant about pastimes and activities of Lord, which are very pleasing to ear and heart. So these are permanent things. When we discuss and hear and chant these pastimes of Lord, then we are associating with permanent things. And what is the result? Our faith becomes fixed, Shraddha, Ratir and Bhakti. Devotion and attachment for Krishna comes eventually, step by step. So we have to constantly try to keep ourselves in association of Sat. And this process of sadhana bhakti is given, and we should try to remain on this path. If we go on off track, if we diverge from the, if we move away from the beaten path, then there is danger. And there is a lot of obstacles being put by Maya. So if we go out there, there are a lot of allurements. We can be attracted and we can diverge from this path of bhakti. But if we are with devotees, they will always pull us back. So we should make sure we are always with devotees as much as possible. Every week, those who are working, of course on weekend we can come to temple or other places where devotees congregate. Wherever there is discussion of Krishna Katha, that's a secure place. It's like an oasis in the desert. This whole material world is compared to a dry desert. You may have so many things in a desert, but if you don't drink water, you'll feel that thirst. You may live in a big house, you may have car and everything else, but in the heat of this desert, we'll feel very dry. So in devotee association, when we hear Krishna Katha, it's like we are taking shelter of an oasis and we're drinking plenty of water and the nectar. And due to this negative association in this world, sometimes our faith is shaken. Sometimes we think, does this process work? We're chanting Hare Krishna, does this work? Was Prabhupada a pure devotee? Or is Krishna actually present? You know, we may have these doubts again and again. But if we are in devotee association, our faith will be substantiated by discussion of Krishna Katha. So these facts will be discussed again and again, and repetition is very good. It's like, you know, you're blowing your mind, you are hitting your mind with a hammer. So again and again, if you hit it, then things go in. So that is Krishna Katha. So when we hear and chant about Lord's pastimes, we are situated in real tranquility. We are in peace. We feel at home. We should ideally feel at home. We shouldn't feel that it is something very difficult to do. It's not very difficult. It's very easy. All of us are sitting here very relaxed. There's no physical strain. it's very easy, you just have to hear, and one person has to chant the glories. And if we are fully fixed in this process of hearing and chanting, then we will get the real peace of heart. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, if one who is not fixed in this process of bhakti, he cannot get transcendental intelligence and a steady mind. And without proper intelligence and steady mind, you cannot get peace. And without peace, you cannot get happiness. So Krishna says, nasti, nasti ra buddhi yuktasya, na cha yuktasya bhavana, na cha bhavyata shantir, ashantasya kutha sukham. If you are ashant, you are not peaceful, then there is no happiness. And we are actually looking for happiness. So for that, we need to get peace. And to get peace, we need to have proper intelligence and a steady mind. So this is how it works. So an intelligent person goes step by step. You can analyze logically. I'm working so hard or studying so hard. Or if someone is a housewife, I'm working in house, taking care of children. But ultimately, I want happiness. And if I'm not peaceful, you go back one step. If I'm not peaceful, I cannot get happiness. And you go back one more step. If I don't have a transcendental, sharp intelligence and a steady mind, I cannot get peace. So modern society is actually based on hedonistic philosophy. Means whatever is pleasurable for my senses, I want it immediately. There are very strong impulses. People have become impetuous. They just act. Because my tongue feels like eating something, I have to get it now. So the intelligence doesn't work. But if we read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and constantly hear these topics, then our intelligence will be sharpened. And those impulses will keep coming all the time. It's not that once we enroll for this bhakti program that our impulses will stop immediately. No, they will keep coming for years and years. So by practice, you will become expert in rejecting them. Again, in second chapter, it says that these impulses are just like so many rivers entering into an ocean. But ocean doesn't move, right? There's so many rivers, they enter the ocean. But ocean doesn't move from its place. If you go to the beach, it's not that, the water is rising. Although so many rivers enter the ocean. Why is that? Because it is very deep. So same way, these desires are like those rivers entering our consciousness. But if we are deep in our philosophy of Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga, then we won't be shaken. So we won't act very impetuously. So the devotee association makes us very deep. Because this is one of the qualities of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is very gambhir or grave or deep. Vaishnava is very deep. So if we associate with deep people, we become deep. And then these shallow thoughts, shallow impulses won't affect us. So if we want to understand little further, what sort of association is temporary or asat? So technically speaking, in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that jnanis, karmis and yogis, they all are actually, they come in category of asat sangh. If you associate with such people, you're actually taking asat sangh. Why is that? Because jnanis, they do dry speculation. They read Vedanta Sutra and they want to merge in the Brahma Jyoti. And mainly, why we reject their association is because they are not interested in mercy of Krishna. Because they think by my endeavor, my study of Vedanta and my scholarship, I can reach the Supreme. So why do I need Krishna? They may recognize, okay, there may be Krishna who comes from the impersonal, but I don't need his help. So that's why we should reject such people who think they don't need mercy of Krishna. By their own scholarship, they can achieve the Supreme. And karmis, of course, they are just interested in enjoying in this world. They may follow Vedas or parts of Vedas to get higher destination within this world. But ultimately, that's also not highest. And yogis, they do a lot of penances to either merge in the Brahman or to get some mystic perfection. And so they are after these things. So they are all called kamis. They are all either bhukti, mukti or siddhi kamis. And they cannot be ever peaceful. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this famous verse is there. Krishna bhakta nishkam atev shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta. Only a Krishna bhakt can become shanta or peaceful and get happiness. And all these other people, they have some other desire. And they can never be peaceful. So in our neophyte stage, we all may have some traces of these other desires. So our bhakti may be mixed. Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Yoga Mishra Bhakti, bhakti may be mishra. And we have to make it pure. Ananya Bhakti. We have to purify it. We have to purify our desires. So slowly and slowly we should try and dedicate our life, our money, our time, our efforts for Krishna. So usually, you know, time is money. So how much time during a week are we dedicating in service of Krishna? And how much time in a week are we dedicating in service of Maya? There's only two types of service, either Krishna's service or Maya's service. Easy to know. If someone is confused, cannot understand, am I serving Krishna or am I serving Maya? So you can clearly see, what is serving Krishna? Serving Krishna means hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna, those nine processes, or doing some service related to temple, spreading holy name. So these are all Krishna's service. If we are not doing that, means we are doing Maya's service. So some of us may have to work outside and maintain our house and family. That is good. In initial days, usually whenever devotees used to join ISKCON, they used to become full-time devotees. They used to only serve the temple. But slowly, there were some devotees who started working outside and then doing some service in the temple also. So first, one of the first devotees who did that, I think he was in Los Angeles, and he met Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, I'm working outside and doing some service. So Prabhupada immediately said, are you giving 50% of your income to the temple? So that was the standard based on Rupa Goswami's example. So that's the ideal standard. We may earn some money, but we can give 50% for Krishna conscious activities. Rupa Goswami did that. When he retired, he got so many gold coins, they filled up a big boat. So he used 50% of that for Krishna conscious activities. Now how to reach 50%? It's not we can't just abruptly do it. So slowly we can go step by step. And also not money itself, time also, as I was saying, it translates to money. Time is money. So that we have to analyze. So these pastimes of Krishna are so amazing. We'll just discuss little more about this Govardhan Leela. In this Govardhan Leela, Lord lifted the Govardhan Hill just like a child lifts a mushroom. It means it's effortless. Child just plucks a mushroom and he can lift it. So same way, Krishna plucked the whole hill and lifted it. Indra had got very angry because all the residents of Vrindavan refused to worship him, and rather than worshipping him, they started worshipping Govardhan Hill because Krishna told them to do so. Krishna gave various logic and arguments, and because all residents of Vrindavan loved Krishna, they followed his instruction. When Indra saw that, he became so angry. So I'll read one statement by Indra. It's given in Krishna book. So Indra cursed the action of inhabitants of Vrindavan and said, "By defying the authority of the demigods, the inhabitants of Vrindavan will suffer in material existence. Having neglected the sacrifice to the demigods, they cannot cross over the impediments of the ocean of material existence." Indra further declared, "These cowherd men in Vrindavan have neglected my authority. On the advice of this talkative boy, who is known as Krishna, he is nothing but a child, and by believing this child, they have enraged me." So although Indra is a devotee, he has been given charge of the heavenly planets, but still, we should take lesson from this pastime that although we may be devotees, but at any time, Maya can cover us. And at any time, we can disregard the position of Krishna. So this pastime shows this. Because we may get so many positions, so much wealth, and so on, we can become proud. And pride comes before fall. So we have to always understand and keep reminding ourselves of our tiny position. We are just a very tiny spirit soul at the moment we are in this body, which is temporary. This whole life is ephemeral. It's just like a bubble. How long a bubble stays, it's just very short time. So that's how our life is. Usually it is said where we see so many people are suffering or dying, but we make plans as if we are not going to suffer and die. So this is a very strange thing. In one of the morning walks in Melbourne, Prabhupada went to botanical gardens and devotees were discussing. So one devotee told Prabhupada that my father is a very sinful man, but he thinks that God is protecting him. So Prabhupada replied to that comment that, you know, that's how people think, that things are happening to others and things cannot happen to me. God will protect me. But that's not the case. Prabhupada says this is cow dung philosophy. So what is cow dung philosophy? Prabhupada explained that when the fresh cow dung sees the dry cow dung being burnt, it laughs that, oh, see, that dry cow dung is being burnt. You know, in India, they make cow dung patties and they cook. That's the best type of fuel, actually. That's considered first class. If you eat food cooked on cow dung patties, that's first class. Second class, maybe wood and so on. And the last class is, well, maybe microwave. Anyway, so they put those cow dung patties in the sun, and when it dries, they use it as a fuel. But the fresh cow dung is wet, and when it sees the dry cow dung being burnt, it laughs. But soon, the fresh cow dung will also dry up, and it will be burnt. So what this philosophy means is, our time will also come. This body is going to go also. We may laugh on others, so he's suffering, she's suffering, he's dying, she's dying. But our time is going to come any moment. So we have to become prepared. So this life is like a preparation, and at the time of death, we'll be tested. Whatever performance of bhakti we are doing now, it will be tested at the time of death, which can be next moment. So all the time we have to be very serious. So usually people become carried away by Maya and they think, oh, this is mine, that is mine. So the whole society, whole world is running like this. They have so many resources, they are allocating the resources, big, big governments, and they think this is our national property and we'll allocate accordingly. But according to Krishna conscious philosophy, everything belongs to Krishna. And if we don't recognize that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, then we are like thieves. And it's called the honesty among thieves. So thieves, a group of thieves, they steal something, they rob a bank or a house, and they go to their hideout, and they say, now we will honestly divide amongst ourselves. So what is the honesty? So that is the honesty in modern society. So people think, oh, according to law and order, ideally we will allocate, we'll make these parks, schools, hospitals, and we'll help all the citizens. But if you don't recognize God or Krishna, then it's like honesty among thieves. So the whole society, whole world is being run like that. So devotees reject that philosophy. Although we live in this world, we don't make protests. Actually, the Harinam that we do, it's like a protest. We are showing, no, God is the supreme. And we are inviting others, all other innocent people, that please start recognizing that Krishna is supreme and everything belongs to Him. He is the supreme proprietor. He is the supreme enjoyer. And He is the supreme friend above all. It's not that He is imposing His authority just for His enjoyment. No, He is our supreme friend. If we give everything to Him, He will give more to us. It is said, like, you give something to Krishna with your two hands, and He gives you so much you cannot take it with your two hands. Because He owns everything. In return, He gives much more. It can be materially, but definitely spiritually. He gives so much. He gives Himself to a devotee. So these pastimes of Krishna, Govardhan Leela, Rasa Leela, it shows that how Krishna is giving Himself for His own men and women and cows. He lifted the whole hill. They were very distressed by that heavy rain. It is said in Krishna book that the rain that Indra sent, it was like arrows piercing the body. And the size of some raindrops was like pillars. It was so heavy rain. And the cows, they hid their calves under their body and they approached Krishna for help. And Krishna helped them. So this is Krishna's reciprocation. He lifted the whole hill and He helped all His Brajavasis, all the cows, all the cowherd men and cowherd women. So this is protection of Krishna and this is love of Krishna. So by hearing these pastimes, we can realize it in our lives. And more we associate with these topics, more happy and peaceful we'll become. So I'd like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discuss. Yeah, so the real depth is that we are taking shelter of Krishna for everything. That is the real depth. So that surrender, that in Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna says, Sar dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami maa shucha. So if we are taking that constant surrender and shelter of Krishna, that is the real depth. That's the topmost thing. If we are taking only Krishna's shelter, we are not taking shelter of anything else. We may have other things and other people around us, but ultimately we should take shelter of Krishna. So every day it's like an exercise. We do an exercise. Did I take shelter of Krishna today? Or was I only thinking about my qualities, my skills, what will help me? Or was I thinking about Krishna's pleasure? So that's the real depth. If we are always thinking of Krishna's pleasure, that I will, for example, I'll go and hear Bhagavatam class for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna will be pleased. I will take prasad for Krishna's pleasure. I will do this activity for Krishna's pleasure. So that is real depth. And Krishna is pleased if we think like this. Like for example, if someone tells us that, or we hear, we just overhear someone talking to someone else and he says, oh, I want to hear about this person. Please tell me more. And if we hear that person wants to hear about me, means he loves me or she loves me. So we become very happy. So same way when we think, I want to hear more about Krishna, I want to read more about Krishna, I want to do some service for Krishna. So Krishna becomes very pleased. And that is real depth. So then there is no time for any material influence. So it is said, if in a cup there is milk and it's full with milk, if you put some ink on top, it will just flow out. It won't enter in the cup. So same way, if we are full with these thoughts of Krishna, and we are always making plans how to please Krishna, then those impulses will be like that ink. They may come, but they won't enter the cup. They will just flow out. Any other questions or comments? Last question or comment? This one. You're saying how, so in other movements, they rely more on faith rather than association amongst themselves. But in devotion, we rely more on association, and faith develops by this association. So yes, they may associate with each other, but what is their philosophy? That's one thing. Krishna consciousness definitely is most comprehensive. In other faiths, yes, they have, like in Christian faith, they rely a lot on prayer. So that is good. We don't say that that they're relying on prayer is bad. Someone asked Prabhupada that, what's the difference between a pure Vaishnava and a pure Christian? So Prabhupada said there is no difference. So they are trying to develop love of God and we are also trying to develop love of God. Only thing is that these literature, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, are far away. They are like much ahead in detail of that Supreme. So they may pray, they may rely on their prayer, but that's not, if they are sincere, they will come to the topmost path. But for us, we have to also pray. It's not that we, the praying, the vandanam, it's one of the 9 processes. But only thing is that we perform those 9 processes in association of devotees. That's what I was saying. We don't only rely on chanting or hearing in seclusion or praying in seclusion. We do with amongst devotees. So that's the beauty of bhakti yoga process. These other processes that I was mentioning, Gyan yoga, you can be in seclusion, read Vedanta, pray to the impersonal Brahman, or you can do your karma yoga, you can just be secluded and try to go to heaven yourself, or yogis, they are in seclusion. But bhakti cannot be performed in seclusion. We need devotees to discuss pastimes of Krishna. So we also rely on prayers, but we are always with devotees. And these other faiths, they have prayers also, but they are not topmost prayers, because they need to know who they are praying to. That's Krishna, this two-handed form. So does that answer your question? Fully or partially? Okay, I think we'll... So, yes. That's a question?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that's a very good question. That we hear that if there are 2 people, there will be always clash because opinions are different. But now we stress on devotee association also. So what I have heard that yes, because we are not pure, there will be differences of opinion. But we should still remain with devotees amongst that disagreement, because eventually we'll get purified, and even if we are not fully purified, this is pleasing for Prabhupada, because Prabhupada formed this society so that we can come together and glorify Krishna and discuss Krishna's pastimes. So we shouldn't go away from a devotee association even though there are fights. So the example is given of diamonds. Like when diamonds, they are in impure form, they have a lot of impurities. So you put them in like a box and shake it. So there's a lot of friction. But what happens, in that friction, the impurities, they become pure. The impurities go away from the diamond. So same with even we have disagreements with devotees, we should try to be as nice as possible. But there will be disagreements because we are in material world. Prabhupada said we shouldn't have a utopian conception of our society. No, disagreements must be there. But still we have to be in devotee association.
Everybody needs everybody.
Yes, we all need. If we are alone, there's more problems. So that's... Okay, we'll finish here. Thank you very much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Itai Gaur Premanandevi.